Hello and welcome to the Starcourt Lounge, episode 7. Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going to talk about content creation as a whole, how I kind of organize my workflow, and tips and tricks on how to optimize said workflow. So, to begin, in case you don't know, the content I generally create outside of this podcast revolves around gaming content, and more specifically, Let's Plays. Currently, on the channel, there is a Fallout New Vegas Let's Play that has been modded with a few mods to improve some quality of life aspects as well as to add some content, and a Cyberpunk 2077 Let's Play that is kind of in a pending status as of the present time due to just general fatigue with the game. I haven't played it a whole lot in a bit. So, with that being said, my content creation flow usually begins with me deciding which game I'm going to be playing and whether or not I want to do recording of it or live streaming, which is something I've been doing less frequently than I'd like to, just between life, work, and school, haven't had a lot of time to do so, which is kind of a bummer, but that is hopefully going to be remedied and we'll find something a little bit more stable for a streaming schedule here. That put aside, depending on which route we're going, kind of determines how I set up and structure my recording and streaming between my computers. So, I have two separate computers, specs of which are on the YouTube channel. But a quick rundown is the main gaming rig itself is a Ryzen 7 with a 3060 Ti. And the recording computer / streaming computer is a Ryzen 5 1600. So it's a little bit older. And then a RX 580 AMD graphics card with an Elgato 4K PCIe capture card for linking the two computers together, or if I want to stream from like my Xbox or hopefully coming soon my Switch. So that kind of breaks down the structuring that way. If I'm going to be recording, say, a Fallout, lately I've been doing it all self-contained on the gaming rig itself and using my 3060 Ti for the encoding procedure rather than using the processor. I've had pretty good results with it, but the last video I did with that was a little bit artifact after the YouTube compression, so I'm looking back to just doing a strict, that rig is dedicated strictly to the gaming and gaming performance, and then having the second computer set up for the actual recording aspect. I just have to figure out some network sharing stuff because that seems to have gone and borked itself for when I had it set up before. So that's a work in progress there. Reason I do that is because you can offload all of the recording overhead from the gaming hardware, gaming tower, to something dedicated to processing all that, you do end up getting higher quality and higher fidelity video because you can dedicate 100% of those resources on the secondary computer, or nearly 100, to capturing that video and audio. So that's the reason I, especially on heavier games like Cyberpunk, that is exclusively how I do recording. I have it on the two PC setup rather than trying to even attempt splitting my gaming PC's performance and resources between both running that very intensive and resource-heavy game in addition to the recording aspect. So once we get all that sorted with the file sharing and stuff like that, we'll be able to more efficiently do that dual PC recording. And then for recording, I usually look at doing it within a 30-minute to an hour chunk. I feel that that's a kind of solid video length especially for the kind of content I make, which is mostly story-based, role-playing-driven Let's Plays. So, a lot of RPGs, namely Fallout New Vegas and Cyberpunk 22 are the two main ones on the channel currently. That being said, I haven't done or touched Cyberpunk in a little bit, just because of a little bit of a burnout, and that had required the way I was doing things, the dual PC setup, which required a lot of swapping cables around to properly get it set up. So it's just a lot more setup work than Fallout New Vegas required, which I could just slap everything into the gaming PC, boot it up, and off we were recording. So it was a little more simplistic and with less time in the day to dedicate towards recording. That was my preferred method. But again, like mentioned, that is being looked at and hopefully fixed here soon to make dual PC a little bit more efficient so we can pump out higher quality video. So once you get your raw footage, you get it over to the editing computer, which in my case happens to be the main gaming computer just because it is a beefier processor and just all around more efficient for that kind of stuff with the Ryzen 7, the 3060 Ti, and 32 gigs of RAM. I can usually go through and export a 30 to 40 minute video of pretty high quality with a lot of data there, maybe like 20, 30 minutes after editing and everything like that. That being said, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. So, editing front, I use a program called Shotcut, which is an open source and therefore, at least in this case, free to use non-linear video editing software. It is a little bit clunky to learn and use at first, but once you get used to it, you can do a lot of really cool things. That being said, I am by no means a Oscar-winning video editor. I am a very self-taught and can do some of the basics, which, for what I need, gets me by. And thankfully, due to the content that I create, I don't need a lot more than that. So usually, with that, I open up Shotcut, import my raw video file, and then my first pass is usually to take the audio, get that all mixed to a satisfactory degree. So usually I'll do a normalized pass to kind of minimize any peaks and valleys in the audio waveform. Kind of have that all pretty consistent throughout the video. Apply a few like compressors and voice gates, or noise gates rather, not voice gates. Those aren't a thing. And just kind of clean up the audio in general. And I do that to both the microphone audio, so my voice, as well as the game audio. Because the way I have it set up in OBS is I have them as a split audio track, so that way I've got more control over both of them. Otherwise, you can consolidate everything to one track, but then if you've got a point where, say, your game volume is too loud versus your voice, there isn't a lot you can do. You're pretty much at the will of fate in that kind of instance. So I do have it as a split track that way to gain that extra control. So following getting audio all squared away, leveled, EQ'd, and all that kind of stuff, comes the video portion itself. So my first pass on the video, so I usually let it play at usually normal speed. I have yet to really dig into and figure out how to do a 1.5, 1.25 times speed in Shotcut just to make that a little bit more efficient. But usually with a 30 minute video, it's not that big a deal. And on top of that, as I'm kind of recording, I'm keeping mental notes of like key points in which I'm like, all right, so this is where I should be cutting away so I can do a transition from a downtime activity, say traveling between two points on the map where there's nothing happening, where I'm not talking, which, as it so happens, not talking during those downtimes allows me to like quickly scrub through and look at audio waveform and find, oh, here's a 30 second to minute long gap of no voice audio. That's a part I need to cut and do like a fade in, fade out transition to. So that does help with the efficiency of the edit. But essentially my goal is on that first run through is mapping out rough structure with cuts and everything. So what I'll do is I'll usually start at the beginning and with my intro, at least with Fallout New Vegas, is I'll cut out the dead time before. And oftentimes with the intros on there, I go through multiple iterations of it to get the right kind of like vocal take, right wording down and everything like that. Because I don't necessarily script it, kind of do it off the cuff. But there's been times where I've gone through like 10, 15 different takes to find one that I actually like. And then all of a sudden you're 5 minutes into recording. So I'll usually cut out all of that, start from there, and then end that intro clip where I transition from third person into the first person camera. And then from there on, it's mostly cutting out dead time. So traveling between, say, in some of the more recent episodes, Novak, the city with the dinosaur, and the one rocket testing facility, Repcon. Some of the instances, there's just not anything going on, and that's like a minute and a half of just downtime. So why bother keeping that in when there's nothing happening? So we usually cut that out. And then the other big thing I'd like to focus on, just to kind of keep things a little bit more seamless, is doing my best to minimize load screens. Currently, I've got the game set up on, it's a pretty fast hard drive, but it is still a mechanical hard drive, so you do have longer load screens, generally speaking, than if I were to just transition it over to a solid state drive, which I do have. I just haven't wanted to do that for a variety of reasons. So that's really what I'm doing in that first pass, making my, I guess, cuts and everything like that. And then I'll consolidate all of those clips down back to back. And I then start to add in like different fade in, fade outs. I can do like crossfades. It is pretty easy to do in Shotcut. The issue I've run into though is that it oftentimes will cause audio sync issues, which I have yet to figure out. And honestly, the amount of work that's probably going to require versus the slightly flashier edit, at least at the present time, I don't feel is a worthwhile time sink, just because I'm balancing a lot already and I want to be able to just create videos. And there are a few videos on the channel that I've utilized that tool, so there are examples out there, but it seems very inconsistent, especially when you start putting multiple crossfades in. So that is why I tend to prefer and favor taking the two clips, butting them right up against each other, and then doing a fade out video on the first clip and then fade it back in on that second clip. And then depending on audio, I will sometimes add that effect on to the different audio tracks as needed. Usually don't have to. So that is the goal with first run through the video. And truthfully, a lot of times that is also when I'm adding those like fades. It's like when I set up a cut between clips, I'll delete that dead space, butt them up right next to each other, and then throw in the fade right away. So it's kind of a one run through. I do the rough framework and any transitions all in one go, just for efficiency's sake. I'm not going through the video twice that way. And then in addition to that, I'm also keeping an ear out for the audio, making sure that everything seems balanced well. With games like Fallout and Cyberpunk, when you get into like gunfights and things like that, sometimes the game audio can be a little bit overwhelming versus voice and any commentary you might have during those situations. In addition to, every once in a while, depending on the game's scenario and situation, you do get instances where like NPC dialogue can be significantly louder than the voice that I provide through my microphone. So I have to do some balancing every once in a while that way. Now that I've got a little bit better setup for my microphone and I'm not running through two XLR cables, I haven't had much issue. And I guess for those wondering, I am using a Shure SM7B through a FET head microphone activator. So, and then I route that into my Focusrite Scarlett 2i2 second generation. Have had really great luck and experience with both of them. Love the microphone. Prior to the FET head, I had the Cloudlifter. And even with that, I found that I would have to kind of boost the gain on the microphone even a little bit higher, and it would still be sometimes quiet versus game audio, especially in Fallout. But now that I've got the FET head, that seems to do a lot better job of boosting the overall signal from the microphone, just because it is a very, by its nature, quiet microphone without like one of those activators. But yeah, now with the FET head, I don't have to worry about audio too much. I think in the last like 4 or 5 videos that I've had that on, I've had no balance issues. I've been able to just do my initial audio pass and I am all set. And then it's just down to the video, which is super, super nice. Gotta love that efficiency. And then that editing mentality and workflow holds true with pretty much any video that I do. Cyberpunk, some of the Call of Duty stuff that I have posted, in addition to Fallout. Cyberpunk is a little bit different just because of the way that I structure the videos. So with Fallout New Vegas, I usually have the little third-person recap of what has kind of occurred up until that point from the last episode. Kind of like an interlude or like an old TV show or something like that. That's kind of the idea. Hence the like film grain and projector shake and the sepia tone to kind of differentiate it as like this is a introductory little thing. And then we get into the action. Kind of like an old episodic TV show. That was the idea there. However, as I've kind of evolved with everything, it used to be on Fallout, I would do that at the start and the beginning. But with Cyberpunk, I started trying something a little different. So that one, I would, as I'm playing, find a good, kind of mentally good point to stop at and kind of leave it on some sort of, I guess, quippy, humorous, or dramatic moment. I know like one of the instances in Cyberpunk, I was leaving a club in my character's car and took a turn too sharply because I am tragic at mouse and keyboard car driving, and a pedestrian had walked out in front of the car and got like hit and he fell down. And I kind of like cut it there and I had some sort of dialogue. I don't remember what it was. I'd have to go back and see the video. But the idea there is to kind of like leave it off on a dramatic point. And then what I do on the second episode, so the next one after that, is I will kind of start with that last little clip as a quick kind of recap. Like, oh yeah, this is kind of what we did. This is where we ended off. Just kind of as a quick refresher. And then intro title card fades in and then you're into the new episode. So I do like that. It's a very fun, a little bit more dynamic way of doing things. So I have kind of started to integrate the ending portion of that into my New Vegas stuff, leaving it off on like a particularly dramatic or quippy moment. I think one of the last ones was at the rocket testing facility. The character Cal had just been told by the ghouls at the facility that there was more to do. And after having done a lot and nearly getting his head taken off, he was understandably a little irritated. So he kind of slowly turned to his companion. He's like, "We have more to do. I can't wait." Or something to that effect. You get the gist, though. And then the start of the episode is still going to be, at least for the time being and foreseeable future, the sepia tone, kind of like old TV intro. I just kind of like something about that. That all aside, after finishing off the edit, making sure everything is looking good, it goes to export. So I export at a pretty high quality. It's near lossless, just so when you go through YouTube compression and everything, you don't lose as much fidelity in the video. So after the export, which depending on the video can take anywhere from on average 30 minutes to an hour. I think I've had some jump up into the hour and a half. But I usually do that on the processor itself, so on my Ryzen 7, rather than using any hardware acceleration, just because, well, it might take marginally longer. I feel that you get a lot higher quality by doing so. So after it's exported is when I start getting into supplemental bits for the video itself. So that's where I start doing like thumbnails and things like that. And up until recently, I would usually do them on a thumbnail by thumbnail basis. So actually, that's incorrect. I still do it on a video by video basis for the thumbnail. However, I have rethought my approach to it. So it used to be for the first, I don't know, like 10 or so episodes of Fallout and the first and a 5 or 6 on Cyberpunk, I would have a wallpapery type background or screenshot from the game with like an episode number. And recently, it started with Cyberpunk. I've started to move towards something with a little bit more flair to it. And so in Cyberpunk, I've got some screenshots of the character V. And I use that as the backdrop, and then I use kind of like a neon kind of futury font to give myself both like the game title, episode number, and I've been starting to add in specific episode titles rather than just be here's Cyberpunk number 1, 2, 3, and so on. So there's a little bit to differentiate them, give it a little bit more personality, I guess, for lack of a better word. And that has also started to move over and transition to Fallout. So it used to be like a screen grab from like a poster or something like that for one of the promo arts. Throw an episode number on it just because that was what I had time for. And have since, in some of my free time, sat down and put together a little bit better looking thumbnail with Cal at the forefront. We get our episode number, we get the New Vegas Fallout logo, and then like an episode title underneath it. So it adds a little bit more visual appeal to it than just kind of a white number on a yellowish orange kind of artwork piece. So yeah, I've been very happy with that on both fronts. I've been looking as I hopefully will begin to start recording Cyberpunk a little bit more, reevaluating and maybe redoing thumbnails. And the plan is to maybe go back and redo thumbnails on the older videos to make them a little bit nicer looking, so you don't have such a disparity between early stuff and the newer stuff. And then from there, with everything exported, thumbnails created, and everything like that, comes the actual upload, which is very click and drag. You go to your YouTube upload dashboard, select your video, select your thumbnail if you're doing a custom thumbnail, and then just let it do its thing. Which, for my videos, I would say on average is maybe an hour to 2 hours of upload. Just because it is a fair amount of data, and I don't pay for like any sort of enhanced upload speed. I upload at 10 megabits a second maximum, which is fine by me. There's oftentimes I'll just get home from work, start the upload, and then go do dinner, movies, whatever else that I'm going to do with the night. And then by the time I'm ready to go to bed, it's done. I shut it down, and then we call it a day, which is super nice. The exception to all of these rules I have just laid out kind of comes with the podcast, actually. So, because podcasting is, shockingly, a predominantly audio-based medium, I do all of my recording for that in Audacity, which is, again, another open source and free audio workstation. I've been very happy with its capabilities and things like that, and I haven't even begun to scratch the surface. With that, I'll do the actual voice recording, voice EQing, balancing, and edit within Audacity. And then for the video aspect, I again import that into Shotcut, add a video track, and then bring in the podcast artwork, overlay that with the audio, and then the visualization of the waveform, that I have to do on a separate thing. So what happens is you get the initial video track and audio, get those set to the right lengths, and then you export that as a video file. From there, I close out Shotcut, reopen it, import that new video file, which consolidates the video and audio tracks, and then you add a visualization filter on top of everything, which gives you that kind of like waveform. And then lately I've been adding in like episode title and number into that for like the first, I don't know, 10-15 seconds, and that fades out. And then same kind of thing. I haven't touched thumbnails on that. I just leave it as the standard podcast artwork. Been toying with the idea of adding the episode titles and stuff into it, but have yet to do so. And then the same kind of upload procedure, because those are generally not a lot of data, mostly just the audio makes up the bulk of it. Those upload pretty quickly, which is super nice. So that, in an essence, is my recording workflow. It is pretty bare bones. Based on how I have my time scheduled and everything, I value efficiency above all else. So a lot of times with, and especially with the content I make, it's very kind of like linear. I go from here to here. I think the most editing I've ever had to do was the New Vegas episode where Cal was prepping for the Powder Ganger battle at Good Springs. That one, I did a lot of kind of fades and jumps between his traversing Good Springs to go talk with the various key individuals, like the doc, the robot, the shopkeep, who I'm drawing blanks on their names at the moment. But I did a lot of jumps between those just to kind of make it a little bit more efficient. And I didn't even do those in the same order that they presented in the video. I think the first person I talked to was Doc at night, then I had some sleep, and then talked to the rest or something like that. But, for efficiency's sake, and the way that it would have structured in the video, I actually did Doc second, I think. I don't know, it's been a while. But that is probably the most editing I've done. A lot of it is just mostly setting audio and then cutting out dead space, which, for what I need and what I do, is more than enough. And then as for like a live streaming setup and workflow, just because that is pretty much I'm setting up to live stream, say a given game or whatever, with no real intention at this moment of recording it. If I ever wanted to, I could always download or upload from Twitch to YouTube. So that is an option. But yeah, for generalized just streaming, a lot of it depends on the game. So if it's something a little bit more maybe resource intensive, I'll generally do the two PC setup. So I'll use the secondary computer as the streaming rig and everything like that, which gives me the benefit of having like my Streamlabs and chat and everything on the third monitor off to my right. So I can kind of look over there and see everything. I can get a little bit more control over that with my secondary mouse, especially if it's a game that's not borderless windows or something like that. And that being said, if it's a game that's pretty bare bones, like browser-based or older or something like that, I will oftentimes just do it all off the gaming rig for kind of simplicity's sake, just because a lot of times that's what I have everything connected to in the first place. And then when I want to use the secondary computer, that's when I swap mic over to that, webcam, all that kind of stuff. Kind of the exception to the rule being anything console-based. So if I'm, say, streaming MLB The Show or something from the Xbox, or in the near future when I decide to start streaming with my Nintendo Switch, that goes through the secondary computer exclusively. Reason being is because that one has the capture card in it. And because it is a PCIe capture card and not like just a USB one, it is a lot of a headache to get those transitions between systems. So I just leave it alone and it works. So yeah, with that, it's usually I make sure I set up everything, because usually I stream at night, get like lighting so it doesn't look all dark and washed out and just kind of bad, and just kind of start streaming and go from there. Not a lot to that. And then I guess the last thing I'd like to talk about today would be tips and tricks that I've either read online, like on Reddit and things like that, or ones that I've kind of come across. So as my content creation has kind of progressed, I've been doing it about a year and a half now. It'll be a full year in September for my first upload. And I do it mostly as a hobby. I have fun with it. I enjoy it. And it kind of gives me an opportunity to sit down and actually play games that I might not otherwise make time for. That being said, the games I'm playing, with the exception of Cyberpunk, are games that I've already played before, and quite extensively, so I've played Fallout New Vegas a lot. This is kind of the first time, though, that I've sat down with some mods in it and really kind of taken my time exploring areas and things like that. When I used to play it, I was more like achievement hunting, and I still had fun with it, but I also enjoyed Fallout 3 a lot more. Fallout 3 still is right up there between that and New Vegas, probably my top two. But New Vegas, I think, is a little bit more well put together from like an overall quest structure and things like that. Tangent aside, a lot of things that I've done to help increase and make my workflow more efficient are templates. Whether it be thumbnail templates, having just the base structure of, in this like Fallout's case, the Cal picture with the dinosaur in the background, the orange kind of like triangle off to the side and all that kind of stuff. And then I change it as needed for the episode. So update title number or title names, episode numbers, that kind of stuff. But I've also done that for editing. So for each game, once I kind of settle into that structure, I create a base template. So in the case of Cyberpunk, I've got a dedicated video track and audio track for the intro title card and music, as well as the outro stuff. Same thing for Fallout. I've got the intro music with the intro title card, and then at the end, I've got the outro music and outro card, which makes everything much easier and a lot more consistent, because it used to be that I would do everything on an episode-by-episode basis and restart from scratch, so I'd have to re-import music, redo EQs on it, normalize the audio, and everything. But templates are your friend, and they can save you a bunch of time. So if you're getting into this kind of stuff, that is something I highly, highly recommend. It's just so much nicer. And I've been doing that now with the podcast as well. I've got a base template framework to help keep the audio intros and outros kind of in the same places and keep them as close to the same length as possible. And then just kind of fill in the gap between the start and beginning with the content itself. So just something that I have found invaluable in this content creation ecosystem. So just something that if you're looking to get into it, or you are in it and haven't done something like that, I would highly, highly recommend. And then the kind of last thing that I would recommend is to not burn yourself out. Don't all of a sudden jump way into the deep end and start trying to pump out a video a day, five videos a day, anything like that. My setup and schedule is I strive for one video for a week. And for that video, I usually record it the week that I release it. Maybe say on like a Wednesday or Thursday before I release it on a Saturday. Like in this case, I'm recording this podcast on a Friday morning, and I'm probably going to do edits to it either right after I'm finished recording or after I get back from work, and do the exports and edits and everything like that, and upload it for a Saturday release date. So that's what works best for me. I had back in like November time frame with the Call of Duty Cold War campaign, that has kind of been the one instance where I did like a bulk recording session where I just played through the campaign kind of in one go, and then I took the raw footage and split it up that way. That one being an exception just because it was a little bit more linear, there's clear cut points, and because that was probably the most temperamental game I had to record. It didn't help that I was running it on older hardware, or at least older graphics card. So I mostly did that because that was an instance that I was actually able to get a pretty stable, reliable 60-ish frames a second for recording and not have it just look like utter garbage. So I'm like, all right, this is my lucky moment. I'm going to record it, and then I'll take care of it later. So at that point, I had a sizable like 6 or 7 episode backlog that took me into January. And like that's super nice and can be super helpful for some content creators. But that kind of killed my motivation because I'm like, oh, I don't need to. I've got a 5-week cushion. So like if I was feeling like it, I would maybe do another video and upload it in between. So I'd do like a Cold War and then Fallout, and then Cold War and podcast or something like that. But it ironically and counterintuitively maybe kind of killed my motivation because I've got a 5-week backlog before I need to do that. So now it's pretty much I do it on a week by week basis, mostly because that better suits the games. I could probably do like a bulk, like 2 or 3 hour recording, get like 2 episodes, 3 episodes out of a Fallout session. But because of the way that I do the endings, it's a little bit, I don't know, it's more micromanaging on the keeping track of the time, which has its pluses and minuses, but my goals are, it is more than enough for me. And then as it progresses, hey, maybe I'll start doing those longer sessions or start doing like 2 episodes a week or something like that. Who knows? Things change. We evolve. So that is what we're currently striving to do. So templates are your friend, and make sure you set realistic and attainable goals. And don't just try to jump in and start doing 7 videos a week that all require 3 hours of editing and stuff like that. If you're doing something that's pretty, like, I don't know, like a 10-15 minute video of, like, say, analyzing or reacting to something, that's a little bit easier to do because less overhead there. But if you're doing like a hour and a half hour long type of gameplay video and you do a lot of edits and stuff like that, maybe limit yourself to maybe a video or two a week. Very dependent on your work schedules, your free time, and what kind of content you're looking to create. So yeah, hopefully this was enlightening. Maybe you gleaned something useful out of it. Let me know. Always happy to have and hear about feedback. And then I wish all of you the best of luck on your creative endeavors, and you're more than welcome, and I look forward to having you share your creative endeavors with me. Feel free to post links on the YouTube video of this, wherever you get your podcast. You can leave comments there as well, and I look forward to seeing you all next time.